Καλημέρα, καλησπέρα, whatever time you are watching, this is Mappa. I'm Stel, Thasso is here with me, and before we start, boys and girls, I think next season's intro video might be longer.
Well, there's some things we can clear from the intro video right now. Aren't there? I mean, Sadiq's goal is going to be 2 years old when we start next season, for instance. You know, there's some bangers. I think a couple of bangers that were scored this weekend might end up on it.
Possibly. Possibly, yeah. How you doing, my guy? You all right?
Yeah. I reflected. I'm not fine. I'm not okay. I'm not okay. We'll talk about it, but I'm not okay.
It's a roller coaster, mate. First of all, I'd just like to apologize because I've got this head cold. It's so massive. It's not massive, but you know when you wake up in the morning and your head's just all over the place? It's just lack of sleep. I think since even before the international break, we've been going full throttle. And I think my body's just saying enough. It's saying to me, it wants the season to end. That's what my body is saying. My body clock is like,
we're of course, we've still, for people that don't know, we still got the charity marathon podcast donations links working. Which is why, obviously, Stel is very tired and his body's giving up on him is because of all the organisation that goes on behind it. And
Just because of that, it's bloody half term. I've got the kid for another few more days.
Golf club. Oh, yeah, on top of that, it's half term and everything else. You know, it's... we can't all do what you do, Stel. I can tell you that. it's a good thing we don't have hair to lose, isn't it? but yes, so back to the thing. jcsmart.com/ebill/invoices/9051/pay. Go in there, put in your 1 euro, 5 euros, 20 euros, 50 euros, however many euros you want to put in. But if you put in at least 20 euros, you get put into a draw of the shirt of your choice. We got our Boyle. We got Omonia. We got Aris. We've got Ahel. We've got Abollon. We got Paralimni. We've got Olympiagos. We've got Leighton Orient. Some of these are signed, for instance. That Leighton Orient one is signed by Ruiz Soderio. He scored a beauty this weekend. We've also that an Aris one. We've got one signed by the team. We've also got one signed specifically by our mate Morgan. Mr. Brown. We've got signed shirts from Fabiano Banayodu and
Hambo
from Omonia. We've got Bakenga worn shirt. You know, it's got like a dirt patch on the armpit, so you can see it's worn. I don't know why you're looking like that. You saw the picture. It's like there. what else we got? Shirts wise, Vucenovic signed shirt. The Olympiagos shirt is signed by the full team. We've got this is
a certain Scottish national team jersey.
Oh my God, the Scottish national team jersey has been signed by everybody. It's been signed by all those players. You've got McGinn, you've got McSauce, you've got Robertson. Give me some more Scottish
Tierney.
Players. Tierney, yeah, McTierney, that's it. There's loads. Of course, if you go in at 50 euros or higher, you can win Swarovski vouchers. You can win hotel stays. You can win, what else can you win? A Fugu, 130 euro worth Fugu. We've got 700 euros worth of dance lessons to give away. We've got stuff. We've got liters of donkey milk. We've got Chibidos.
Yep.
We got... I could get the spreadsheet open, but...
It'll take forever, but put this out. If you look in the description, everything is there.
Yep.
Everything in the description of this video is there. It's even on last week's. So yep. Everything you could win is there.
Yeah. And for your...
It was
for
€1 you could win something, so...
Yeah. For the Apollona fan in your life, you can get him a blue McQueen collector's item from Cars. Blue McQueen, that's Cars 3.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Limited edition, only Disney stuff about it, so there you go. Yeah. We call it an Apollonista because it's a blue one, but yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Do it, do it, do it.
Do it, yeah, yeah. There you go. Happy days. And if you do enter the competition for the shirts, don't forget to email us. You'll receive charity@nc-network.com and let us know which shirt you want to be entered in for, because there's loads of shirts. Loads. So there you go. We're trying our best here, man. We're trying our best. But hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. What it is, what it is. It is what right. It is. Shall we do the football thing?
We can do the football thing.
Yes, let's do the football thing. Because it's a Group B party, boys and girls. Oh, no, 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 no. Take it back. Apollon beat Doxa by 2-0. Peretz and Kostaki with the goals. And I think that might be it for Doxa, unfortunately. I don't know what else to say. They've tried their backsides off, but unfortunately, it looks like they're going down. But here's an interesting one. If you look at the screen, you will see. I screenshotted this from Sida Vision. And in front of you, for those that are listening, is a screen and it says highlights, Othello versus Salamina. Great. But below that, it says Doxa, Apollon in the description. And it also put the wrong score. It put the correct score for the game that I mentioned before, Othello Salamina, but they didn't change the names of the teams. So there you go. That's what happens when you spot things. Anyway, long and short of it is 2 goals for Salamina in the first half from Diakite and Spiridaghi were cancelled out by a brace from Brambilla, one before half time, one in the 75th minute. But Luciano Narsing, man of the moment, new contract, put the ball in the back of the net to make it 3-2 for Salamina. Big victory. Look, and that ends finish. Their winning. Yeah. Ended their winning, their winless streak. I think there's like the last 5 games I hadn't won. Yeah. Meanwhile, Garmi Odisa took the lead against Ethnigar before conceding 4. Gatsandoni gave Garmi Odisa the lead. Mesquida made it 1-1. Ilia made it 2. Bika with a fantastic strike. Or is it Bika? I don't know. Is it Bika? Is it Bika? Doesn't matter what it is. He scored a banger. And then Yanidis made it 4-1 near the end. Look at this strike. Bosh. Bosh. How about that? It's somehow your father. How about that?
Yeah. Bosh. And there's a header. Yeah.
Bosh. And finally, this game actually did take place. AEL walloping AEZ 5-1. FIVE. I think that must be the biggest win AEL have had in years. Magriz gave them the lead. Our friend Minji made it 2-0. He then made it 4-0, actually. Sorry, because Mendoza scored a penalty in between that. Cristo scored a lovely free kick with 3 minutes ago for AEZ, pulling one back. But it was too little too late. Cristo Dulu made it 5 in the 94th minute. And there we are. Oh, okay, fair enough. That's quicker than I thought it was. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So shall I go through some news?
Go for it.
Group B. So there's some stuff that needs to be picked up because they're not shown in the highlights because we only show the goals because most of the games in Group B don't mean anything. But yeah, Doxa legend, Khaled Adenon, had the ball in the net for Doxa at 0-0 against Apollon, but his shoulder was offside.
Ah. So
that was the first one. first little bit that we missed off there. And hold on, I've got to get through like 5 pages of notes on another game that we're going to talk about. So Ethnikos Akhna, after the match in the press conference, Marinos Sachas, the head coach, revealed that he's only going to be there till the end of the season, and then he's going to move to a different place. And he actually revealed that he has had offers from abroad. Now, I'm thinking, if Ilija stays at Steaua Bucharest, do you think he's going to go there to be his assistant?
Okay.
Because the thing is, right, he said abroad, because if it was offers from Greece, he would have said Greece, he wouldn't have said abroad. Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting thing to keep an eye on Sachas, I think, next season, see where he ends up.
Well, you never know, he might end up in, I don't know, Serbia, Slovenia, Slovakia, Hungary.
It could be anywhere, man. Bosnia, be anywhere.
Australia.
Yeah, ends up at Perth Glory. it won't be Perth. They're all in Melbourne or the Gibraltar. Melbourne Victory. That's it.
He's been getting quite a lot of those at Ethnikos, to be fair. So
To be fair, I would have quite a few of those players at Abuel, but it seems like we're only interested in bringing players in who speak Portuguese. But anyway, So Ael, the takeover seems to be serious business. The Gerkida are reporting that the German investors are coming to Cyprus for the Ael General Assembly. So, you know, originally when we were with Lefteris last week, we were talking about a European multinational, right? So we assumed kind of like, oh, Red Bull, imagine RB Limassol. I'm guessing it's more like Lidl or Aldi.
It might even be the same people as last year.
You think? Are they
multinationals? Well, you never know.
Obviously, we made the jokes on Twitter, you know, it doesn't work. I thought it worked.
Aldi.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody put
Aldi. Would that happen? Because they'd be playing at the Alfa Mega.
I know. I thought that's why it's funny. You know, supermarkets. Mm. Discount supermarkets as well. But anyway, just waiting for Ruslan to come in, but he's not around. Oh, Merry Christmas, Mr. Bufos. Merry Christmas. We'll get to that. Don't worry. Let's see. What else have we
You're going to get it tonight, man.
I know I'm going to get it tonight. I don't know if we can play the song or not. But something happened at Garmiodis.
Okay.
But it's not. It doesn't concern Johnny Violins.
He didn't say anything.
No.
So we can't play it.
Oh, we can't play it. It sucks then, because the president of Garmiodissa, Stavros Dimosthenos, so this is Johnny Violins' boss, went on Super Sport FM instead on Monday, and he had a couple of bombshells. So here's something. I will also reveal something to you. There are human investors. He actually said that. He said it in Greek. Anthropinia bendides.
Okay. When you directly translate it, here's me thinking, what, are you an alien or something?
And then no, you're sending the club to humans. Does that make sense in Greek? Because for me, it doesn't make sense to say that in Greek either. Anthropinia bendides.
Maybe he means it in a plural sense.
No, that there's loads of them rather than one.
Two or three investors.
Anyway, and strong investors like Mr. Punin, as you build Karmiotissa, let's not be surprised to see her in as one of the big teams in Cyprus. We are close to signing. Let me inform you that I will remain the chairman of the group. The goal will be much higher than this difficult task we are going through this year. And then he quoted Johnny Violins from an earlier post that he had made about the Tirio. If we succeed and everything is fine, I think it's time for the Anguinares to leave the Tirio. The people who are there, apart from destroying the jewel of Limassol, do not make it to be. They don't do a good job and should go home. We will aim to take the whole thing. Let them go home so we can have some peace. there's some big plans apparently, putting loads of inverted commas, happening at Karmiotissa. So we're going to see a lot more of Johnny Violins, I think, pre-season.
It's funny because they're originally from Bonamidia, right?
Yep.
And the Alfa Mega is where?
It's in Golossi.
Is it close to Bolemidia, though? Is it on the way?
Well, the Tirio is closer to Bolemidia than the Alfa Mega is.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. It would have been quite funny if they took over the Tirio and...
So I believe that's the bits done for Group B.
Okay, wonderful. Well, that was short and sweet. Only took 17 minutes.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to make some space.
Ah, yes, good. Well, we've done all of that. Very nice, very nice. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Group A, the happier section. Mm-hmm. And so, Omonia trounced Ari by 3-0. Goals from Semedo, Gaguli, and Miletic. Yes, you said, yes, you heard correct. Miletic scored for Omonia. A convincing victory, especially second half. First half was a bit of a crap encounter, if you'd ask me. There were both teams cancelling each other out. Sorry. Ari had a few chances at the beginning of the game. But to be honest, Omonia, we stepped up. Second half, we played with more intensity, more aggression. There was a lot of fight, which I was very, very pleased to see. It seemed like we were a British team, like a League One team, fighting for everything. And once we took the lead, it was practically game over. But what I will say, Thasso, I want to go back to beginning of the season when you and I were talking about Ari and their European exploits and how they were conceding goals from corners, from throw-ins, from free kicks, because Vanna just wasn't able to come and collect the ball because he wasn't getting any support from his defenders. And even in these goals, the 2 goals from the corners, he wasn't getting the protection from his defense. No. So there you go. But I didn't say anything on No Chofters. I did it in the members area, what I had to say. So I'll give you the floor now, mate.
Listen, two teams, I think, with different form, completely different form tables for the two teams. Aris, motivation wise, they look like they're at rock bottom at the moment, whereas Omonia are gliding. They're hands in the air. You know, they're flying. They're aiming. They're looking up, whereas Aris are looking down.
Nearly Furtado. I'm like a bird.
Exactly. There you go. Oh dear. Yes. I keep saying, is the Euro or Omonia off too early? I think the performances that team's been putting in. In general, since your new temporary head coach is here, I think the performances have been better. It's almost like, if you play a player in the position they're supposed to play in, they play well. It's surprising, isn't it? Yeah, surprising. on Aris's side, I think this was another game again. Shpilevsky wasn't on the bench.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. So that obviously has an effect on the Aris team. I think there's a few players suffering from tiredness as well. You know, European games during the season, the intensity they play with, and the rest of it, and as well as there's been talk of some internal issues that have gone on, but we don't know much more than that, so we can't really talk about it. But yeah, it's kind of the conclusion to that is there's two teams you would have thought they would be the other way around at this point in the season, motivation wise. Mm-hmm. And that kind of played out, especially in the second half.
Yeah. Well, look, this is what I think about Ali at the moment. I think they're in free fall. I think there are internal issues. But I don't think they're irreparable. This is the thing. From watching them against us the other day, there were three or four players that were giving it their all, especially in physical confrontations. But the rest, they just seemed disinterested or demotivated. Now, from what I understand, there is a bad egg. There is a bad egg. So once they get rid of that problem, then things might get better. But as I said, it's not an irreparable situation for Ari. I think defensively they certainly need to improve. And you know, if you look at the central defense situation with Brorson, who's probably out of contract at the end of the season. I don't think Urosevic is a centre-back. I think he's a left-back, personally. They need a leader in that back line. Sané, as good as he is as a right-back, defensively, he's got mistakes in him. He's rash. I think that comes with experience, because he's not an experienced player. Midfield, they've got five central midfielders to pick from. Nikolic, Brown, Zoke, Strutsky, and Spoljaric. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they've got talent there. But then when you look at the wide areas, yeah, Montnor can play wide. Yeah, Mayambela can play wide, and he came off injured. But where are the other options? Bengtsson, again, he's another player that's disappeared. You know, I don't know what's happening to his form. And then up front, Gomis as a 10, yeah, he'll get your goals for sure. But he's 31, 32. Then you've got Stepinski, who left, who was a big player for them, I believe. And you could tell that they've been suffering. Savo's done well since he's come in. But again, he's hit miss on maybe at times. I don't know what Szymanski's got to do to get games. I think he's phenomenal, even at his age. But then you got another player who I believe has got other distractions. And I think he's a problem. I think he's a big problem.
Yeah, it was something I mentioned at the beginning of the season. The team was being prepared as if Gagarin wasn't going to be signed, and he was brought into the team, and that's kind of messed around a little bit with some of the attacking play that they've been involved in. Like, there's Gagarin hasn't had the season that he had last season. Last season he was on fire. It was one of the reasons why Aris won the league. Whereas this season, he's almost been a bit part player. He's had a couple of good games here and there. But
didn't it seem odd to you how late in the window they left it to bring him back on loan?
Well, it's because he was trying to break into the first team at Fiorentina. And
I don't know about that.
And then I think a new coach came in and he wasn't interested, which is why he then said, okay, I'm going to go to Aris since they want me.
I don't know. I think there's a bit more than that. I think there's bit more than that. Yeah. I think there's a bit more than that. Again, but I hear things, but as you know, you can't really... But I think there's more to it than that. And look, I've heard a rumour that he's got a business in Limassol. And perhaps last season, you know, he didn't have that distraction. And maybe over the summer, or whenever during his time in Cyprus, he was able to find a business partner, or whatever. Again, I'm hearing things. So he hasn't been the same player as last season, but we know that he is a quality player. That being said, I think that he's part of the problem at the moment. As I said, it's not irreparable with the club. I don't think Ari are going to be like most clubs in Cyprus, whereby if they have a bad season, they're just going to rip everything and say, let's start again. No, they're going to keep doing what they're doing, but make a few amendments. And that's what they need. Because as you know, as everyone, like, look, Omonia, Apollon, the last two champions, retaining the title is more difficult than winning it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it? Is a lot of teams have kind of found out what Aris do and they've tried to counteract that in different ways. And obviously that kind of like the development of the league means that you need to run to stand still. So, it's just, I think it's part and parcel of how the league's going over the last 2-3 seasons. Like you said, if a team wins a league, everybody either tries to copy it or find a way to beat the system that they've got. And in this case, for Aris, is they found a way to beat Aris's system.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's move on. What's happening here, man? Usually I have the logo to split the videos, but I didn't do it this time like an idiot. But anyway, so AEK trounced Buffalo by 3-0. They took the lead early on. A Gvida own goal. Fransol made it 2, 18 minutes in. And on the quarter mark, 24th minute, Pere Pons made it 3. Convincing victory for AEK. Pretty straightforward. And I'm surprised with how Buffalo defended all three of those goals. It wasn't like them. And I've got to give credit to AEK for bouncing back, especially after losing to Abo the previous week.
Yeah. The defending for all three of those goals was atrocious. You know, with don't know if you've seen Buffalo's social media for the cup game tomorrow. They're like, oh, dress retro style. And they had like Gyro and Tankovic in flat caps and, you know, trying to do this like a retro kind of thing going on. And I kept thinking, you know, Baffos
they defended like they were in the 30s, didn't
they? That's what I was going to get to. But yeah, pretty much. It was like... It was pedestrian from them. I don't know what had happened. And then obviously, you know, kind of Buffalo's go 3-0 down. They end up having to chase the game. And then I just sat back and just waited for the attacks to come through. Of course,
and
you know,
Buffalo's defense opened up like a can of baked beans. Don't forget to ration, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I do declare. Oh, that was amazing. he did the voice and everything. It was great. Write that down. You need to clip it. but yeah, as well with the form that Pirić is in, he's found the form that he had kind of at the beginning of last season as well, because I've just seen a comment come
through. Don't encourage him.
So Yeah, the form that Pirich is in at the moment as well. They figured he's back to how he was at the beginning of last season, which is going to be a massive help for Ajax, because when you see a goalkeeper play the way that he does at the moment, it gives the confidence to your defence, and then your defence performs. I think I saw Robert make like goal line clearances you expect from someone half his age, you know,
rolling back the years.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, Tomori, if you're watching, you know, there's a central defender there that could do a job. You know, he scores goals as well for Gibro. Anyway,
Pirich needs a sponsorship deal with Nando's. Put him on the menu. Piri chips.
Nice.
I know it's Peri-Peri, but it's Piri-Peri. You know,
it's Piri-Piri chips. There you go. Yeah.
Piri chips.
Now, it looks like...
Give him a Nando's black card. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Composed. Bad news for Ajax is, regardless of what happens in the league this season, Ben Shimon is going at the end of the season.
For sure?
Well, he said it during their pre-match press conference. I've got it here. I have to give an answer about the reports in Israel and the national team, because I owe it to the club, the fans, the staff, my players and the management. After the end of the season, I will go to a new project. But at the moment, Ajax has 100% of my attention because my players and the club deserve it.
Hmm.
So Ben Shimon is basically going to go manage the Israel national team at the end of the season.
Okay.
Which I think if Ajax do something that they haven't done for 30 years, and they win the league, the worst thing that could happen to him is Ben Shimon leaving.
Yeah.
because he's basically given the same players the chance to win the league. It's basically the same team that Ultra had at the end of last season.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's done something to them that Ultra wasn't able to do. Despite the escapades in Europe that he managed to get the team to do. So, you know, I think Ben Shimon leaving is going to be the worst thing to happen for Ajax in the preseason. So we'll see.
I'm gonna put a bet on who's going to be the next head coach.
You're going to reveal, or are you going to keep
it? No. I think Callejo.
You think they're going to get Callejo? You know what? That is a very good shout. That is a very good shout. I'll agree with you with that, because, yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a very good shout.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we move on?
We can move on.
Well, only one game left. I'll let you describe this. Buffon, this is for you, my guy. This is for you.
Yeah. Anderson Correa, basically, man of the match for this, I think. So we had
what was the score?
From two. It was a 2-0 win for Anorthosis at
RCP. Against who?
Against Abuel.
Against Abuel.
Ferrer scored the first goal, and yep. Barudis scored the second goal. Oh my god, the fucking defending! Oh, I'm getting bloody flashbacks. I can't. I can't. It's so bad. Where to start? I mean, you could start with how this joke of a manager set the team up to begin with. Marquinhos in the middle, Dongala on the left. Yeah. Again, only one central defender to start the game. He takes Costandino off, puts Mejrión, moves Dalcio into defensive midfield. During the game, you see Marquinhos go from the centre to the left, to the centre to the left, to the centre to the left, flipping all the time. You see Dongala Dongala goes from left to right throughout the game and then ends up at right back. Dvali at the end of the game was up front. Wilson looks like he ate Wilson. Yeah. Gvildaya came on in what, like the 70th minute. It's the defense was all over the place. Susic made Correa look like Gareth Bale.
But the thing is, you're right. But Faso, listen, there's the second goal. I'm sorry. Like, let me just rewind it. Yeah.
What is Dalcio doing?
But look, just watch all of them. Right. When it goes to, look at where they all are. Right. You have three across. We've got four across the 6 yard box. You have one on the 6 yard box. Mm-hmm. You've got two players going towards Correa. And look where he puts the ball. I mean, look at them. They're standing there watching like meerkats.
It's horrible. And, you know, those with the goals. Correa kept running in circles around Mr. Bufos. Mr. Bufos.
I had to get him on.
He's got a t-shirt. See, Mr. Bufos here, he's cheating a little bit because he's got his own printing house, so he can get the t-shirt done on the day, yeah?
On the moment.
But yeah, listen, I've got like 400 pages of notes here screaming, but first of all, I've got to say, Okaz tactically, he got it exactly right. Egametemas burun in Greek, right? Because goal at the beginning.
Okaz tactically, first of all, inside Anorthosis, make the best thing. He said to the players, I know we have problems. Any player that he is not in a mood to play, to tell me, stay outside, and the guys who wants to play to be inside.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And you know, the Kings, they took the game by storm, and Sapinto did not know what to do. He's completely lost.
Anyway, I just asked for a moment the link.
I just chose the t-shirt.
The next stop is on Sunday with Omonia.
I'm going to get it next week now.
Yeah, ruin their season as well.
And if we make three wins in the next three games and some results will be like we want, and Omonia win the cup, Europe. We can go in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, because look, I look at Bafo at the moment. They're not doing...
Good night, guys.
Kalinichta. Thank you, Phile.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was nice.
Now, I'm going to go back to my notes now. I'm going to read off them. And I'm gonna read them because I wrote them And I showed a screenshot to Stell earlier, and he sent me a laughing emoji. So let's see how we go. Right. So we've got a shower of a performance from the Abwell players, and the coach yelling out instructions every 5 seconds didn't help. Sapinto started Marquinhos in the center, and then moved him to the left, and then to the center, and to the left, and to the center, and to the left, and to the center, to the left. In, out, shake it all about. Dongala started on the left-hand side, gradually moved across the pitch to the right wing, and finally ended the game at right back. Dacio started in the eighth position, moved to six, taken over from Kostandinov, and then finished the game in central defence. Dvali finished the game up front. Yeah. So the only central defender he had on the pitch, he had him up front. Right. Wilson, Majolik, Vidaya, Efrem, and Dvali up front. No Sacha, no Villafañez, no Sarfor. Kvilidaya was on the bench for most of the game. Susic was being terrorized by Anderson Correa, of all people. And Petrovic was prime Slenderman, flailing around, you know, with his arms that are longer than the rest of my body. Yeah, just... Right? And then Belic, for that first goal especially, was... I don't know what the hell... Like, Anyway, Marquinhos, Hefte, ineffective. Tomane was non-existent. He was going up into the corner flag to get the ball. And then he was trying to cross it into the box. Red dickhead, you're the one who's supposed to be in the box to get the ball and do something with it. But why? Why was this performance the way it was? Because Ricardo Sapinto is a liability. He's lost the plot. He's up in cloud cuckoo land. He's screaming every 5 seconds, do this, do that, do the other thing. Do the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I've said it so many times, right? On the training pitch, team talks before the match starts, probably great. Good at drilling the players, getting them to play a tactic. Fantastic stuff, right? But as soon as the first whistle kick off, fuck off. Go like, you know how Sam Allardyce used to sometimes go up into the stand when the game would start? He needs to do that. He needs to fuck off. He needs to, okay, I'm gone, right? He's there yelling every 5 seconds, like every time there was a pass, you could see him. Like when they have like the wide angle shot of the whole pitch, you could see him going, going red in the face, veins popping out here. Just, right. Imagine you work in a souvlaki deal, right? And someone asks for a bitter souvlaki. Very easy to prepare. You know how to make it. It's easy. You were shown how to do it. You've been doing it for a while. You're comfortable doing it. Then your boss starts to yell at you. No, you need to chop the tomates in cubes instead of slices. You need to slice the cucumber instead of cube it. You need more salt in the souvlaki. Less salt, more lemoni, no dashi. Put the dashi in, take the dashi out. No cucumber, more maidano, less maidano. Onions, no, different onions. More onions, less onions. More cucumber, no tomates. You know, you go through all of that, right? And if in the end the Belardi leaves with a hot dog, you've done something wrong, right? And what's worse, at the end of the game, he's telling everyone that hot dog is the number one bitter souvlaki. And then he has like, what, 5 security guards trying to take him off the pitch while he's yelling, we're still number one, at the fan that told him to fuck off. And then in the post-match, the press conference afterwards, right? Even your guy, your press representative, I can't fucking remember his name now. Pedevino, right? He's there trying to finish off the press conference. He's like, no more questions? Okay. And he's about to get up to leave. And that's how Pinto goes, no, wait, I've got one thing to say. And then goes off about, I don't like what the vice president said, you know, about this thing about the contract. I asked for the contract 2 months ago and blah, 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 masa, bega di pramata, garo, regare, shut up. But anyway, it goes off about the comments that the vice president, Nikos Kougialis, said in an interview that he had. So, this is what Sapinto said, right? The vice president said that all I'm worried about is winning the league and I'm not thinking about the contract. This is not true at all. 2 months ago, I sent a letter, more than 2 months. There is this. If they are satisfied with me and want us to continue because it is important to solve the issue and prepare for the new season, I wanted to know their intentions. 2 months passed. I read the vice president's statements, kept my mouth shut until now and tried to do my job. When they say I'm not worried about the contract, no, I'm clearly worried and I want to know my future. Right? Now, Kouyalis, right? I'm going to read the statement that Kouyalis had about this, right? It's incendiary, this statement that he made, right? It's like he set fire. Like, why would he say this thing about Sapinto, right? We have started some discussions with the representatives of the coach, but he notes that the priority is for the team to get victories on the pitch so that it can reach the championship. Everything will come later. He himself does not wish to enter into intensive discussions because the priority is to win the championship. This is what he now wants to achieve with Apoel. There is care for the material available to the team. The coach will have a significant say in the footballers who will stay, but also in the transfers. We have started a renewal effort with various footballers according to the coach's instructions. We will talk to everyone because we want them to stay. The recipe is successful, so there is no need to make major changes to the Apoel roster. But I repeat, the games come first. The team is asked to stay focused and serious, and the rest will come in time. Now, obviously, what he said there, out of order. That's out of order from the Apoel vice president, yeah? And Sapinto wants the fans to know that because he thinks the fans, that he thinks that he's more popular than Bedridi and the Digisi, especially with the ultras, yeah? Like he did at Esteghlal, where he thinks he's at Esteghlal, where the fans, you know, they don't give a crap about the player. No, Apoel was supposed to be a unified front. So when the head coach starts talking about the Digisi, the first thing that happens is, hey, fuck off. Get out. I don't want to be quoting Nigel Farage, but baffling. I've said it many times, Sapinto, not my coach, hashtag not my coach, like, you know, like you did with Sofroni. I've been very patient. I've been going, look, understand, this is a coach, he's the one doing the tactics, he's the one training the team, you know, Dominguez was the one just managing the match, making sure the players are working in the match and everything else. But the point tallies between the two coaches as well, between Dominguez and Sapinto, are completely different, right? We've got Sapinto here. I worked it out. Where is it? Sapinto has got 1.6 points per game. Dominguez has 2.64 points per game. Yeah? But anyway, what do I know? So, if Apoel win the title, it's despite having Sapinto, not because of him, right? And I hope someone learns the real lesson here, because if there is a contract extension, I can see that being a big, big problem next season. You know, I'm thinking about players. We talked about it, 6 months ago? Sapinto fell out with Sacha for some reason. Falling out with the fans. He's falling out with vice presidents. He's falling out with the thing I've heard a few times, right? Is that if everybody's an arsehole, it's you who's the arsehole. Anyway, that's my thing. What I will say as well is Stell has written a more balanced review of Sapinto. And there's the link there. There's the link there. So, Stell has,
it's all there.
It's all there.
It took me about 6 or 7 hours to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information, and I've been as balanced as I possibly can be. I've been as fair as I possibly can be. It isn't a Sapinto trash talking write-up. What I did was just quote him on his original press conference, his initial press conference when he was given the job, and things that he said. And to be fair, a lot of the things that he said is rung true. Unfortunately, Sapinto has previous. And there's something I didn't put in the write-up, which I'm going to say now. I've noticed that each club he's gone to, he will start off well. The first 2 or 3 months, he starts well. And then for whatever reason, it just goes down the toilet. And he's the first one to admit in every press conference, he will say, I was at this club. It didn't work out for whatever reason. Now, I can understand Esteghlal. He wasn't paid for 7-8 months. I get it. You lose your motivation. But yet, he was still behaving the same way on the bench. I've seen videos of this guy at previous clubs, whether it be in Turkey, in Brazil. The guy wants to win, but he wants to win his way. And if things aren't done his way, then he becomes a problem. Now, to be fair to the guy, again, I'm trying to be balanced here. You guys did start off the season well, all right? You lost to Ghent and Omonia beat you 2-1 in a game where there was 4 red cards. That was an anomaly, as far as I'm concerned, right? But then came the Anorthosis game. And that is when it all came tumbling down for him. Because rather than understanding the culture, because this is a guy that said in his first interview, he knows the culture. He was in Greece. So if you know what to expect, then you need to handle it a certain way. I believe if he restrained himself, rather than going at Gallejo, going at Oka, pushing the security guard, having a go at someone, having a fight with someone, losing the plot in the press conference, things might be a lot different. But again, he's got previous. You saw his reaction because of the aircon after the Dilagori game. There was that, you know, and as I said, the histrionics, everything that goes around with the guy, it's baffling. He presses that self-destruct button and he's only got himself to blame. Now, what I will say is, yes, when he was in the stands, Dominguez did a fantastic job. The club was marching on and on and on. Then he comes back and for whatever reason, the results were inconsistent. You'd win one, you draw one, you'd win two, you draw one, you lose two, you'd win, you'd lose. And then we saw, Thasso, I'm going to bring it up now, at the weekend, as you mentioned, at full time, after the Anorthosis game, this. he's remonstrating with the fans. He's saying we're still top. But the way that is, there's four people, five people.
About that argument at the end, you want to make any comment?
No. There is one person that tell me, insult me. Mm-hmm. A person insult me. Don't is correct in his language to me, like fuck off or something like that. And I said to him, what is this? We need to have the respect. And I said, I don't understand this person is this. And of course, I said, we still are first. I don't know if it's from Apoel or no, but we need to respect each other. I understand sometimes we are sad. I'm the first one, but we need to respect all the time everybody. And I don't forget that we are first until now, and we are giving our lives.
Now, on the one hand, I understand what you're saying. You're still top. It's only a point, but you're still top. You're still in pole position. I get it. But once again, it goes back to the culture and it goes back to understanding the culture. And look, as an Omonia fan, I find this whole thing hilarious. But what I do understand is one thing you do not do, and that's fuck with the Upworld fans. Don't fuck about with them. Doesn't matter if you support another club. If you're within the club, the fans are the number one. The club is number one, but obviously the fans are a very close second. And if a fan is remonstrating with you, just ignore it. You walk off or you just accept it and you go in your press conference and say, right, understand their frustrations. We're still top. We're going to work hard to try and win this title because we know how much it means to the club. And then you say, we're the best fans. We're the best this, we're the best that, because it's how your fans have been brainwashed. But that's just how it is, right? That's what we had to do. But no. Mr. Sapinto, just like Rekdal, has the, I've played at a high level, so that means I need to be respected. Well, yeah, we can respect you because you've played at a high level, but I cannot respect you for your CV because as a player, you only won one league title. As a head coach, he's only won one cup, which was in 2018, whenever it was.
And you won a super cup.
And you won a super cup, which is like the community shield of
yeah.
Trophy. So he hasn't got the managerial CV to walk around the place thinking that he owns it. The one thing that is keeping him at the job, sorry, two things that's keeping him at the job. Number one, the contract, which he's probably on big money. And number two, Alessandro da Silva.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has been in and around the club since 2014. He's obviously been instrumental bringing in players like Vinicius and Nadal and the Brazilian lads that came in January yeah. and in the summer. But is the club being run as a football club or as another way to develop players, sell them on for a profit, and also get some commission for Mr. Listen, I'm just speculating.
Right. Yeah, it can be both, right? It can be both. Yeah, I mean, look at Aris, for instance, with landing Badji this summer, or Babiga going to Toulouse. You know,
yeah.
You can do both those things, right? But you know, you need everybody singing off the same hymn sheet.
Yep.
And Sapinto is out there singing his own song, and that's a problem.
But the thing is, that's what is he the main problem? And the reason why I ask this is because I saw the players' reaction at full time against Anorthosis, and they were broken. Mm-hmm. They were absolutely broken. And the thing is, obviously, it was a big loss, but again, you're still top of the league.
Yep.
Do you get what I'm saying?
It's
so
yeah.
Do you think they were thinking, true. Shit, we're going to go back to that dressing room and he's going to absolutely tear us to shreds?
But yeah, but he is right as well. The performance from a lot of those players was shocking. But again, I go back to the reason why that performance was shocking is because instead of them playing to the instructions that they had before the game, they had to deal with the instructions that they had every 5 seconds. Go do this, go do that, go over there. Why aren't you going to him? Go over there, do that, go there. Da, 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 da. You know, it's not good. You've got other players being completely ignored. You've got some players probably aren't fit enough to be playing the full game. You've got players playing in the wrong positions. I keep saying this. It's a real big pet peeve of mine is for a player to be 100%, you play him in his best position. Yeah, if you think your right winger is a right winger, you play him on the right wing. Yeah, if you've got a defensive midfielder, you do not chuck him in the center of defense. If you've got a left winger, you don't play him in the center of the park. If you've got one central defender on the pitch, you don't put him up front. Like, fuck, man. This is like basic stuff. This is basic stuff. It's basic stuff. If you don't have the players for the formation you want to play, you need to change your formation. Otherwise, you get players. He said at the beginning of the season, like a week before the transfer window ended, he said, I'm very happy with the players I have. And I pointed out we only had three central defenders, and it was Dvali, Crespo, and Garamanoli, right? And then I said, how is that a central defense that could win you a title, right? And then he decided Petrovic can go there, and now he's decided Dalcio can go there, and it's a joke. It's a joke. The man's a joke. Like, the psychology of those players is probably in the bin right now. Like, we're still first, but the only person who's convinced that we're going to be okay, the only person he's convinced is himself.
But first of all, look, you know, we're in that WhatsApp group with a lot of the people that are in the charity pod. And prior to the news that came out yesterday of his potential sacking, the guys were on the fence about it, because the general consensus was, yeah, they're gonna back him because he's their coach, but at the same time, he's done so much damage to the relationship between him and the supporters with his actions. It's very difficult to back this guy. Now, again, if you have the fans saying that, how must the players feel? But at the same time, you cannot fully blame the players, because they have put up with this the whole season, and yet they've still been making a go of it. You know, just a couple of weeks ago against Ajax, they're celebrating as if, you know, the title, one hand's on the title. And even we were saying, well, I was saying it anyway. But then the way that they lost Arnautovsk, and it wasn't that they were knocking on the door like against Omonia, right? They were knocking on the door against Omonia, but they weren't pounding on the door, if that makes sense. But they were knocking on the door. Against Ajax, pretty much smash and grab. And again, it's a repeat of last season and the year before, where they get into the top six, they mount a title challenge, if you can call it that. But when it comes down to the pressure situation, it's almost as if they cannot cope. And again, I don't know whether it's because the coach is to blame, because you can blame Milojevic, you can say Sofroni was culpable. But it's practically the same group of players.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is, right? Is you're trying to play this high-intensity game, and you've got 33, 34-year-olds, 35-year-olds, yeah? These players can play a high-intensity game up to a certain point. Yeah? Petrovic is 34. Yeah? And he's having to deal with strikers like Gagouli, like Mayambela, like... he didn't do it. Like Montenor, for instance, he got sent off for bringing down Montenor the other week. The players with speed and that are younger than him. The guy's going to get left behind after what? How many games are we on now? 30.
Well, we've got four games to go. 32, something like that.
Yeah, it'd be 32 games, exactly. You know, they destroyed him. You know, Kostadinov is 32. 33, yeah. Again, you know, Crespo's 34 as well.
He hasn't been playing lately because his old man passed away, so...
Right, yeah, but he's been injured as well. Susic, 33. Chabak, 33 as well, I think. You know, all these players, you're expecting them to play with an intensity of a player 5 and 10 years younger than him.
I think also what you need to take into...
It's not going to work. They're all going to be dead by this time.
Yeah. I think what you also need to take into account is the games outside the top six, like your Salamina, like your Othello, whatever, you guys have gone full pelt, and you've given teams a right walloping this season. You scored five here, six there, three there. Okay, I get it. But in the derbies, where, as you mentioned, the intensity is different. It's different because you're doing more covering. Sometimes you're going to be defending without the ball for 4 or 5 minutes. You know, it's different. It's a different level. And I think when it's come to the derbies, yeah, you got a couple victories against Buffalo. Yeah, you got a 1-0 against Aria. Yeah, you hammered Omonia, even though there's nothing new there. The fact is, I think when it comes to these big games, he doesn't know how to play to your weaknesses. He knows how to play to your strengths, but he doesn't know how to play to the weaknesses. So when you're playing a derby game, he goes with this rigid 4-2-3-1, and he's expecting his wingers to do a lot of defensive work. Marquinhos can't do it. I'm sorry. He can't defend.
And neither can Donis.
No, yeah, but Donis can't even run at this rate because all he does is a 20-yard sprint and his hammy goes. So that's another thing, right? So again, how do you manage the intensity and prevent all these injuries from happening? How many injuries have you had this season? Think about it.
To be fair, it's not as bad as last season.
No, it's not. But again, it goes back to what we were saying about Milojevic and how you manage the load, how you manage your training sessions, how you manage the games, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, in the write-up, you'd have seen that Ndongala has played the most games this season.
Yep.
He's played the most minutes this season at 32 years old. That shouldn't be happening.
Nope.
You should be looking at Sarfor and Sacha and players that are under 30 that can do the minutes.
Yep.
But again, it's the management. It's the management. And look, Wilson might end up being a hero at the end of the season. Listen, stranger things have happened. But again, you've got to question the decisions that were made. The players that he signed that he knew were Domane, Wilson, and Petrovic.
Yep.
Okay. And how many out of those three can you safely say they've performed well? Petrovic,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. So, yeah, you know, the guy has made mistakes and he has his flaws. I'm just interested to see what's going on in the background with Mani Dara. And the reason why I say this is because I haven't heard a peep from him.
Yeah. A peep. And normally he has things to say all the time. Yeah.
Yep. So, what does that tell you?
Something's up.
Right. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's a question here from Pedro. Does Thassel have a list from derbies, win, losses, or draws, not just the playoffs? Let's say...
Dominguez has one defeat from all the top six teams he's played.
There you go.
But I think he only played four or maybe five games. The top six.
Well, let me see what I can get up here while we do this.
I had it and I thought, no, I'm not gonna.
Okay, let's get old transfer marked up. Let's do this.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm doing right now.
We've done an hour and 10 minutes. Let's see how quickly we can get this one done. Okay, so he was banned from the. Hang on, so Anorthosis was the game where he got the ban. So it was from Ethnigol right the way through to Ael. Ael was his return. So you drew with Aek, beat Anorthosis, beat Omonia, beat Bafo, lost to Ari, beat Aek. Yeah, pretty decent. Pretty decent.
That's what I mean.
And now you've drawn against Anorthosis, lost against Anorthosis, lost against Ari and Omonia, beat Bafo, which is standard, and beat Aek.
Yeah.
And you still got Bafo, Ari, Omonia, and Aek. There you go.
So that's worrying, looking at those last three.
Yeah. Well, look, let's look at the table anyway.
That's all. Yeah. I mean, there was some stuff about Anorthosis that happened this week as well, but we can go into it after.
Yeah, we'll go into that just a bit. Go on.
I'll do it, shall I? Yeah, Abuela top with 66 points.
See your top. Chill.
Chill. Aek, our second with 65 points. Omonia, our third with 62. Addis, our fourth with 61. Bafos, our fifth with 57. And Arathosis, our sixth with 52. And then we've got the relegation group. We've got Abolon top of that with 52. Ael second with 44. Nea Salamina third with 44. Achna with 43, Garmiodisa with 32, and then Loxa with 25, Othellos with 23, and Ayers with 17.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next week is Loxa versus Garmiodisa.
Right.
So if Loxa get a result there, they're only 4 points behind Garmiodisa. So that's why I don't think it's over yet. I need to see what happens in that game for me to make a decision. If that's a draw or Garmiodisa win, then the three teams below them are down and you might as well not play the rest of the games in the relegation.
Yep. All right, yep. Well, do the Anorthosis news, and I've got some other stuff that might interest people.
Yes, so Anorthosis, they are in the shit, I think. You had the good news of the result, but you know the club's going down the toilet. Anorthosis had their extraordinary general
problem, boy.
This last week, where they announced some more measures in which the fans can help the club meet its financial obligations. The need for immediate financial support for the Anorthosis of Famagusta in order to avoid unpleasant consequences is great, and we are sure that the proud people of Anorthosis will once again support the effort as the modern Atlas, Atlas, the guy holding the planet up in mythology, who will carry.
It's not Sandy is holding the club
on their shoulders. Sandy's less said about Sandy's the bear.
He's sitting on top of the world with an ice cream. All the Anorthosis fans are holding the club like that. Yep. Sandy's at the top.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Therefore, and following decisions taken at the extraordinary general meeting of the Anorthosis Famagusta Association dated 8th of April 2024, the following financial support actions are announced. One, the availability of VIP boxes starts immediately with a 50% increase in the price of each box. At the same time, 50% of the total value of each box must be paid for by Tuesday, 16th of April, the remaining 50% by July 2024. And then two, season ticket holders or those who wish to acquire a season ticket for the 2024-25 season will be able to pre-book their seats by paying the amount of 100 euros, which will also include them in a special category of Atlas. Team friends enjoying special privileges such as draws for official jerseys for the 2024-25 season signed by the players, the right to choose by voting for one of the official appearances, and 200 points in the blue and white program. Payments can be made via website, and holders are asked to do so by Tuesday, 16th of April. Now, 16th of April seems a very important day for Anorthosis. They keep mentioning 16th of April. Please pay some money by the 16th of April, please. So I suspect they need that money by the 16th to pay off the financial obligations they have to these five foreign players that have supposedly thinking about going to FIFA to complain about missing salary payments.
Well, look, if you want an Anorthosis shirt and you don't want to wait till the 16th and you can wait a bit, little bit longer, enter our prize draw for the charity. 20 euros gets you into the prize draw. All the money goes to charity. Email us at charity@nc-network.com and say, I want to be entered in the draw for the Anorthosis shirt. And you have a chance of winning the shirt. There you go.
Yeah. And with that 20 euros, you're sending a kid to Disneyland.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Instead of paying what I guess is Charlie Musunda's salary. Because basically, according to the media, the five foreign players are complaining are on multi-year contracts. So should the relevant parties at UEFA find the club is at fault, then there could be transfer embargo, points deductions, and cancellations of contracts. Now, a couple of those are a big problem, especially the cancellation of the contracts, because multi-year contracts mean that they'd have to pay out something like 2 million euros as compensation for the cancellation of those contracts. So I did a little digging. I went on Transfermarkt and saw the foreign players on the multi-year contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So reason why I mentioned Charlie Musunda is he's on a contract until 2026. Charlie Musunda is there until...
I don't think he's played 26 games the last 10 years.
Listen, Musunda's agent is... Now, Chico Banza is on a contract until 2027.
Hey, we can go AWOL and dance on Instagram. Why not?
Exactly, yeah. Now, other foreign players on multi-year contracts, you've got Makun, Gargas, Garcia, Tijera, Guerrero, and Wagwe. Right? So, yeah. Interesting times. Basically, absolutely, the club is begging fans for more money to pay off some of the salaries of these players to avoid them going to UEFA and therefore getting hit with transfer embargoes or even a points deduction. Also, obviously, at the General Assembly, they kicked Hambulaz out. Anyway, that's all we're going to say on that.
Oh, well. Isn't that a shame? My heart bleeds. You want me to elaborate on this? I'm not going to elaborate on this.
No.
Because there are things I could say about that man.
In my notes, I specifically said, and that's all we're going to say on the Hambulaz matter. No.
For those who are watching, there are things I can say about that man. And it's got nothing to do with what he did with the microphone, sing about Monia song. It's got nothing to do with that. What I can tell you guys, and there is someone on my shoulder right now, the little angel on my shoulder saying, still don't say this. But let me tell you something. If I said what I wanted to say about this guy, that reputation, whether he's got left, gone into thin air. And Pedro knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Pedro? But we're not going to go there.
No, we're not going to go
there. Not yet, anyway. And I hope someone is watching.
Minakir. Roy Sotirio scored an absolute banger. Do you want to get that highlight up?
No, because we get done for copyright.
Oh, yeah, that's the point. Yeah, we can't play it because, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I suggest everybody take a look at it. It's if it's on Leighton Orient's social media, it's an absolute
it's on the Twitters
banger.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of bangers, there's something I want to show you guys because I saw this the other day. It was Omonia Cosenza against Paralimni in the second division. Big clash. A win for Omonia would practically guarantee promotion. It ended up being a draw. But there's three things actually. There was two things, but then Mario pointed the third thing out, which I didn't even notice myself. Let me just bring it up. This is the goal for Omonia. A wonderful goal from Fabinho. Look at this for an overhead kick. Bosh. Back of the net, right? Celebrations. Pandemonium. A ball boy runs onto the pitch, celebrating, losing his mind. Ball boy, by the way. He's then ushered off. Here he is, gone. But let's just slow it down. So he almost trips up the player, by the way, and then he realizes, shit, I just got away with it. Okay. Player's still celebrating, running to the halfway line, celebrating. Come on, let's get the game back. And then Mario points this out to me. Look, what happens? A guy comes out of the stands wearing a clown mask, and he's looking at the linesman dead in the eye, and he's following him. He's like moving him out the way. What is this? Anyway, fast forward to injury time, the 94th minute. The ball boy that celebrated the goal is then sent off. It's actually ball man. So he loses his temper. He takes the bib off. He throws it down in disgust and walks off. This is Mappa. This is sensational. It's absolutely isn't it? Sensational. The next one. This was at the weekend. I'll let you go.
I was going to say I'm pretty sure that Dimitris Hamatsos only has one stand, by the way, at the ground.
Yes.
Yeah, but you saw fans all the way around the pitch.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I love it. So,
unbelievable.
The next one. This was Omonia Aradipur against Olympiakos. Now, bearing in mind that Omonia Aradipur have played all of their home games this season at the AEK Arena. And this game was moved to their smaller stadium against Olympiakos, knowing that a win would guarantee promotion effectively. Even a draw would be great for them. So, it's 0-0, 89th minute. Bondi Goz is receiving treatment. He goes off the pitch in the 90th minute for more treatment. A few seconds later, Aradipur win a free kick right by the byline. Pretty decent position. Bondi Goz returns back to the pitch. Happy days. Goalkeeper goes down with an injury. I don't know what's going on here. The goalkeeper, Sakava Aradipur, he goes down with an injury. Maybe it's a waste time. I don't know. They take the free kick. And Bondi Goz heads it in. So he goes to celebrate. And you see the goalkeeper sprint 60 yards to celebrate. And I'm thinking, that hammy.
There he is. There we go.
That hammy is absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. Aradipur win the game 1-0. Olympiakos promotion dreams are in tatters. I don't have any sympathy for them. Now, something else that was interesting that fell onto our lap the other night. Irregular betting patterns. Box, Xilodimbu against Akhirona. Description. First half, total over 1.5 goals. The total at full-time, 2.5 goals. And result, away win. That's what fell on our lap. That is what we were told that night. So we were told after the event, clearly, from our contact in a certain place, which I cannot repeat because I don't want to compromise them. And guess what?
Yeah.
It ended up 4-2 to Akhirona. There were two goals in the first half. So that's your over 1.5 goals. It's funny how
that second one, 45 plus second one.
Yeah, 45th minute plus one, yeah. Mm. Total over 2.5 goals. Well, there were six goals in this game, so that's done it. And away win. So, there you go, boys and girls. Who? I'd like to see what people have to say in the comments about this.
Shock. Box being involved in match fixing. Shock. shock and horror. It was almost as if, well, I'm not going to mention any other teams. There will be another result to discuss as well that happened in the third division. But yeah,
there was another result. Shall we go into this one?
We can go into this one as well. Yeah. So those two teams were playing each other, and basically the loser was going to get relegated.
So for those listening, Ethnikos Asha beat Olympias Limpion 10-0. Yes, TEN-0.
Yep.
Bosh.
And that game, basically, whoever lost got relegated. So Olympias Limpion were in the second division last season. Next season, they're going to be playing in Stoke Bilektis if they don't get wound up. Just for some history for people who haven't been listening to us since last season, Olympias Limpion were caught match fixing, or someone was, there was some weird betting going on in a game between Olympias Limpion and AS Agagiou. Remember them? Remember AS Agagiou? Anyway.
1 minute. Is this the team that we had the report a couple of weeks ago that for irregular bets and they, yeah, was it 2.5? No, it was 3.5 goals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they lost 4-0.
Yeah, and then there was that weird right back not playing properly. Anyway, so AS and Olympias Limpion were involved in some kind of weird betting irregularities, but the Vrionidis couldn't figure out who was at fault. So when that happens, they take the funding away from both teams for the season. So Olympias Limpion went basically almost bankrupt, and ended up getting relegated from the second division. And then I'm guessing everything's kind of coming up, ethnic Olympias Limpion players. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Move along, nothing to see here.
Move along, nothing to see here, exactly. Now, just checking through my notes. There's one more thing that I've got here, and it's basically Spiros Neofididis versus the Cyprus FA round 356. Because these guys, Spiro likes to come forward with issues that the Cyprus FA should be tackling, and the Cyprus FA likes to respond to say, no, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. No, we're doing it properly. So, Spiro had comments regarding the UEFA criteria for the financial stability of the associations in Cyprus, where, according to him, some teams are about to be hit with 6-point penalties due to non-payments and other financial issues. We've spoken about some teams already earlier and the financial issues they're facing. Shrug, maybe. The Cyprus FA hit back with some comments. So the Cyprus FA characterizes as unfortunate the statements of the executive president of the players' union, Spiros Neofididis, about the allegedly insufficient control of the criteria by the competent department of the federation. Such placements create wrong impressions. The Cyprus FA informs that the strict levels of control of the criteria ensured by leading independent auditing organizations in Cyprus in the context of the application of UEFA regulations. The efficiency of the FA's procedure is evaluated at regular intervals by the European Federation, so UEFA, and we refer to the reports of recent years, most recently the one of December 2023, where UEFA evaluated the operation of the criteria department in the FA as excellent. Excellent work, lads. Fantastic. You do the thing you're supposed to do and it's excellent. Well done. Now, I have got four notes for you, however. There are two clubs in the top six that have had issues paying players' salaries this season. There have been at least three clubs across the top two divisions asking fans to give additional money to help the clubs financially. One club has done that twice now. Three, there were a number of clubs hit with a transfer embargo in December 2023 for non-payments of football debtors. So specifically, what the UEFA criteria is supposed to stop. Yeah? So there's that one. And four, Al Giorgolini, prior to the start of the 22-23 season, apparently passed enough of the criteria to start that season. Players that signed for the club were never paid, and in January 2023, the board at Al Giorgolini decided to wind the club up, leaving the FA's organisation of the second division in a hole, and more importantly, left the players at the club without an outlet for their missed salaries and a very small window of time for them to find new clubs, right? So I mentioned those four things on Twitter. Now, there was a fifth one that I just remembered off the top of my head. It just landed on me once I remembered, you know, old turtlehead in charge of this, I presume. So AEL only passed the financial criteria last season because the Cyprus FA, in conjunction with Citavision, basically paid AEL all their TV money for the next, I can't remember, but I think it was for three seasons, so that they would be fiscal for the season. We only know that because the Somadio president last year threw it out as, by the way, and another thing, with regards to the financial black holes for Gleos left the club with, right? So, with all that, excellent criteria checking, lads. Amazing. Great job. No notes. Except for those five notes. No notes.
I don't think they've got a checklist.
Nah, man.
They need a checklist.
It's a mess. It's a mess. You can't tell me. You can't tell me that a second division club asked for €300 of a certain amount of fans each to help the club run itself, right? That is not a club that has passed UEFA criteria for finances, right? Or, you know, selling tickets to a non-existing game. Or help the club buy a couple of players, get a scarf. You know, those aren't incidents for teams that are, you know, financially viable and therefore are able to pass the UEFA criteria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, transfer embargoes. Those all supposed to happen when you pass UEFA criteria.
Yeah. Ah, well. Yes. Right, so let's move on. We've got some comments. When Omoni Gosinia get promoted, are their fans going to attend games? Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. A lot of them didn't want to get promotion because they objected to the fan card. So I'm more interested to see where they'll play their games. Maybe Ghazi B?
It won't be Ghazi B, man. Too expensive. It'll be my carry on.
Okay. There's still the 29th, the Cypriot version of Mule. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. No one likes us, we don't care kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
The game against Abuwa will certainly be interesting if fans are allowed to go, that is. And even if they're not allowed to go.
What they will do is they will play the game at the Gerinia Epistrophe. And they'll have the Omonia 29 fans in the Macario and the Abuel fans in the Ghazi B. And maybe they won't have any problems. Maybe. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, if we thought this show was long talking about Sapinto, if they get promoted,
Wait, you're gonna need a new segment.
Yeah.
New segment bit.
Yep. Definitely, guys. I probably had Messi and Batistuta up front. I'll be as beyond even the Gattuso of the other team. bit late, but still. You got your flowers there, Mario, for mentioning that that thing in the background with the linesman. Monaco Senor playing on Mojosto, probably.
No, they won't. I don't think so, Mario, because dependent on what teams stay up, Carmio di Sa, at the moment, have already signed to play at the Mojosto, right? And you've already got Omonia Radipo, who are also going to be playing in Scala.
Are they playing in the Arena?
No, in Scala. So, yeah, at the Arena. But so you've got Aek, Omonia Radipo, you have Nea Salamina, you'll have Anorthosi, and you'll have... It's basically the same reason why Carmio di Sa, when they originally signed to play at the Amostos, the Cypriot police said, no, you can't do that. You're going to have to find somewhere else. And that's why they went to Bafo instead.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Too many teams in Scala.
Do we have any more news?
No, man, that was it from me.
Oh, okay. I'm just no jingles sure. today.
No jingles today. Well, you know, we're doing it a day early because of obviously the cup games.
Yeah.
So which means Vrionidis is out tomorrow. So
yeah, we'll probably miss it next week because the cup games are again on Wednesday.
Well, no, but we can talk about the week before.
Oh yes,
Vrionidis. So don't worry. We'll do it for sure.
So yeah, that's it then. That's it. Nothing else to say. We have another podcast next week on the Tuesday, which will be fun. Hopefully, we'll have a special guest. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to hit that like button if you like the show. That is, leave a comment. It'd be great to read your comments, not just in the live section. That's my Instagram there. Thassel's Instagram is there. Yes. You can follow us at This Is Mappa on Twitter and on Instagram. We also have the NC Network Instagram. We have a new website coming very, very soon. The finishing touches are being applied. It's going to be very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's it. We've got Thassel's website, flescafes.com, with all the articles and everything.
Yeah. And Stel's got a new one, remember? You've got to check that out. Read it.
Yes, you must.
Read it, and if you're an Abuel fan, weep. Read it and weep.
It's not bad. Come on.
Come on,
yourself. Anything else, young man? Anything else you'd like to add?
From me, no. However, I would like to point everyone again to the charity donation page, which mm-hmm. should be flashing up on the screen. And I am just filling the dead space while that is being brought up. And with a 20 euro donation, you will be entered into a draw for one of the various football shirts that we've got available to yourselves. And remember, if you do want to be entered into a draw for a football shirt, you need to let us know which one. Now, there's two links that we have in the description for the video. One is for the link of where to make the donation, and the mm-hmm. second one is how you will tell us that you've made the donation. Because we don't touch no money. We don't want your money. Don't give us your money. You give them the money. Yep. You just let us know you gave them the money.
There you go.
Yeah.
One more comment here. Restel, customers wanted to watch Leeds Sunderland instead of Champions League tonight. Please explain. I'm assuming your customers are from Yorkshire, from Leeds. I'm assuming it's a big game. If Leeds won, they'd have gone top. They drew 0-0. Spoiler alert. So, yeah, that's probably why. That's probably why, bro. And let's get it right. Champions League, as glamorous as it is, it isn't Mappa. No way is it Mappa.
There's only one Mappa.
Exactly.
This is Mapa.
This is Mapa. Hade. See you next week.